Please turn to the passage of God's Word that we read together earlier, Mark chapter 10, and I have already identified for you the question of the Lord Jesus that we are going to consider this morning. It's found in verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Let's bow in a word of prayer, please. Let's humbly acknowledge our need of being taught and pray that God will speak to us. If he were to say to you today, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? How would you answer? How would you answer? What do you perceive is your need today? O God, give us an understanding of our needs. How many today are sick, feel a symptom or two, but have no real understanding of the need that they have deep within? And as it is physically, so it is spiritually, Lord. O God, men are conscious of a certain emptiness, a vacancy, as it were, within their being. But, O God, they know not what really is wrong, and they never can know until thou dost enlighten them. Please, let that work of enlightenment take place today under the preaching of thy precious word. Help me, Lord. God, help this poor creature to plainly set forth the Lord Jesus in all his splendor. Fill me with the Spirit of God to that end, I pray. Hear us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. It's always important to get a hold of the text. It's the key in the sermon, you know. So I'm going to repeat it to you again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Asking questions has always been a chief means used by the Lord to enlighten men's minds as to their own lost spiritual condition. When asked a question, you are forced to think, and how the question is asked directs your thoughts in a certain channel. There are channels of thought that man will never engage in unless God challenges them. There are matters that man will never think about, don't want to think about, unless God stirs their hearts. That is why when you seek to give out a tract, it's immediately recognized by many what it's about. And they don't want to go there, so they reject the tract. They don't come through the doors of the preaching house because they don't want to hear what it is that will be proclaimed from the Word of God. I trust that today it will please God as we consider this question posed by the Lord Jesus. It will please God to prompt you to think about that which perhaps you have been trying with all your power to avoid thinking about. Man needs to be prompted in order to consider his spiritual and eternal needs. Questions help that process. Thus, from the very beginning of the Bible, you have questions asked. First question in the Bible was asked by God. Genesis chapter 3, the verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto Adam, Where art thou? Do you think God didn't know? He did. God knew where Adam was. But Adam didn't really understand where he was. And it wasn't the geographical location of Adam that God was interested in, but it was, Where are you in relation to me? Remember, Adam had gone and hidden from God. And that's what God wanted Adam to consider. Where are you in relation to me? Where are you today in relation to God? Are you hiding like Adam was? The Lord Jesus began his earthly life, and much of it is hidden from our view until he was a man of 30. We have very, very little information upon the Savior, except when he was a boy of 12. And you read about that in Acts chapter 2. You remember he was taken up to Jerusalem to the Passover, and the parents started for home without taking notice of whether or not he was with them. And after 3 days of searching, they find him. And where did they find him? Where they left him. And what a lesson there is for us, each Christian here. If you've lost out with God and lost contact with God, you'll find him where you left him. They had been with him to the temple, and that's when they started homeward and forgot about him. And when they went back to the temple, there he was. Verse 46 of Luke chapter 2 says, "It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions." Asking them questions. Oh, I have no doubt that those men that day were called upon by the questions of the young Lord Jesus to consider matters they had not thought about before. But here they were, considering subjects raised by the Lord Jesus. So it is with men everywhere. I trust that God will cause matters to arise within your heart that you must ponder as a result of hearing God's word today. The question that Christ asks of the blind man Bartimaeus would have made the poor man consider a number of things. The Savior had said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Well, there were so many things that that man needed. He was a beggar. His worldly possessions were probably carried about in a wee bag, and that was it. Had he a house? I don't know. He wouldn't have had much. Therefore, as it were, he could have produced a very long shopping list in answer to the Savior's question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" But the man didn't say, "Well, now let me think." No. Instantly he answered the Savior's question. And I want just to lead on from that into the first point that I want to leave with you. And that is, please learn the absolute necessity of a knowledge of our needs. Out there, among the general population, there is an awareness of a need, but there is not an awareness of exactly what that need is. The man was begging for money. That's what he sat by the wayside doing, hoping that others passing him would take pity upon him, throw him a little money, or perhaps a little food. That's what he was doing. But is that what he needed most? Is that what he needed most? The Lord Jesus had given him £1,000, £1,000,000. Would that have changed his world? No. He would have been a man with a lot of money, but blind still. On the other hand, recognizing what his need was, he realized that if I get this need met, then everything else will fall into place. If I had my sight, I could go out and earn money. I could get a job, something I can't do at present with this handicap. And getting a job, I could begin to look after myself and improve my lot. So getting money would not really meet my need. Getting food would not really meet my need. What I need is my sight restored. You know, men and women, when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his disciples into the world, he didn't send them with a checkbook, saying, wherever you find a poor man, give him a check. Wherever you find a hungry man, give him food. The Savior didn't initiate a social campaign, but instead he sent his disciples into the world preaching the gospel. A message which came to the very heart of man's requirements. When a man gets saved, there is that which springs from that wonderful event which will improve everything in that man's life. An example of that is given back a few chapters in the Gospel of Mark. You remember the Savior went to the land of Gadara. And in the land of Gadara, he met a man possessed of many devils, the opening section of the chapter 5. The Savior, on meeting that man, delivered him from the power of Satan. He saved him. The man became a Christian. Now, as a result of that spiritual change, there were other wonderful changes immediately began. And they're summed up for us in the verse 15 of chapter 5 of Mark. When the neighbors in the area came, they see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Those are all changes that came about as a result of him being saved. Sitting. He had never done that. If you care to read the opening verses of the story of the man, he had been restless, tormented. And it says, day and night in the mountains, he was heard crying. The poor creature couldn't find ease. He was tormented. But now he's at rest. The burden has been lifted. His mind has been settled. And he can sit at the feet of Jesus. And listen. He's clothed. He has a new sense of morality. He's in his right mind. The point I'm making is this, men and women. The gospel is what man needs above all other things. And if a man gets Christ, everything else will fall into place. Everything else. Governments initiate programs, social programs. They hand out billions in benefits. Left, right, and center. Do you know what governments would be better doing? They would be better financing gospel enterprises in this country. I know it wouldn't win many votes, perhaps, and would cause a lot of ridicule among political commentators, but I tell you this. If a government were to promote the gospel within its society, it would do more to benefit that society than the spending of the billions that it presently engages in. What's the constant debate? And I mean, the governments, no matter who they are, they're spending now vast amounts of money in comparison to what was spent 25, 30, 40, 50 years ago. There are benefits that people qualify for so that they can at home live on a wage given them by the government far higher than perhaps many as a person obtains by working. But does it solve anything? No. Because the whole debate is how can we avoid cutting back on these benefits and rather giving more. We need to give more. And there's this lobby group and that lobby group crying out from one corner of the country to the other about the need for more such benefits. But they don't solve the problem. I tell you, if you'd given Bartimaeus £100, £1,000, he would have spent it and would still have been a beggar then, and still would have been poor, and still would have been blind and unable to work. He knew what he needed. I need the sight, Lord. That's the key. That's the essential need I have. Oh, that men might know their real needs. You see, the physical need of Bartimaeus pictures for us the spiritual need of all men, because all of us were born blind. Oh, not physically blind, but spiritually blind. Blind to our needs, blind to God, blind to eternity. And so we stumble through our life blind, not realizing where it is we're going. And if we die in that blindness, we will die lost for all eternity. Many don't realize they're blind. I wonder, do you today? If you're not saved, you're blind. You might say, what are you talking about? I'm not blind. Oh, but you are. There's a verse in Revelation chapter 3 in the verse 17. And Christ is here speaking to a church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They didn't realize that that was their state. This was a church. These were professing Christians that had become so foolish and backslidden that they became blind to their true state without God's grace. And that is how men are by nature, blind to their needs. Man's chief need is a cure for his spiritual blindness. Man's chief need is a cure for his spiritual blindness. His eyes would be opened upon a different world. You remember the story? Surely it's one of the best known stories in England of Pilgrim's Progress. You remember the story? Oh, I hope you do. If you've never read it, please read it. Do read it. In it, you have this man, Pilgrim. And the first we see of him, he's reading a little book. And he has a huge package on his back. Huge burden on his back. And as he reads this little book, he's sighing and sorrowful. And he pictures for us, you see, the man or the woman or the boy or the girl who through the word of God begin to realize that they're lost. They're sinful. They begin to feel a burden upon their hearts. But what they can't know is how to be rid of it. How to be delivered of it. But the little book that has opened their eyes to their sinful, lost condition will also show them that there is an answer. And the answer is Christ. Men need to know about their spiritual blindness in order that they might seek an answer to it, that they might be delivered from it. In Matthew chapter 15, the verse 14, the Lord Jesus uttered these words. Now I repeat, the Lord Jesus uttered these words. Matthew 15, verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now he's speaking about the religious leaders in Jerusalem. The men who held office in the temple. The men who guided the nation spiritually, they were blind. Where can blind leaders lead you? Only to destruction. The Savior here gives us words that have become part of man's language internationally. They be blind leaders of the blind. Out there today, here and there, there's a little pocket of people gathered into churches, listening to blind leaders who know nothing of God's truth and who are giving instructions to those in the pew who are blind that can only lead them to destruction. Well, that's the state of affairs. Man is in need of a cure for his spiritual blindness, for that's a state. And Bartimaeus was a man who understood his need. Sitting there by the highway side, he had many hours to contemplate his condition, contemplate how he was in truth. And he knew what his need was. He wasn't blind to his own need. You know, today, men have invented all sorts of terms to, as it were, put a sticking plaster on the needs and the ills. You don't talk about people being blind anymore. Visually impaired. What does that mean? Oh, you can't say things like about people being blind anymore. And you know that trend, and think about it. You know that in every area of human physical disability, there has come this campaign to soften down, dumb down, the definition of their physical needs. Why? In order to pretend they don't have a need. That's what men want. Let's pretend we're not really in need. Bartimaeus wasn't blind to his own blindness. What do you need, Bartimaeus? Money? Food? Clothing? A house? No, Lord. I want my sight. I want my sight. He felt his blindness, and it was for deliverance from it that he sought. Men seek much in this world without ever seeking that which is most important, a spiritual deliverance from the consequences of sin. You go into the supermarket, and over there on the counter, there's the lottery tickets and all the other tickets. There must be a dozen and more now. And there's people scratching and opening and writing and filling in and buying. And if I were to open a counter with the Bibles for sale, or even for giving away beside it, there wouldn't be one that would come forward seeking for that which can never really meet their needs. But Bartimaeus knew what was wrong. I need to be healed from my blindness. You know, that's why preachers must preach the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Because without preaching the Ten Commandments, we'll never know our lost condition. It's when we hold up the Ten Commandments before the eyes of men that they catch a picture of themselves. They see God says, do this. Well, I don't do that. God says, don't do that. Well, that's the very thing I do. And the preaching of the law takes place. A school teacher begins to work. A school teacher, Paul says, that teaches us our need of God's mercy and God's salvation. Under the law, we are taught our lost condition. That we need God's salvation. That's why in Pilgrim's Progress, you see, this man was reading his little book and he was being taught. He was being taught his own lost condition. And that in turn caused him to seek out the answer in the same book to this lost condition. Oh, men need to be taught their blindness. Bartimaeus furthermore recognized the opportunity that was his that day. What a day this was. Look at how God records the event for us. Verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging, as he did every day. No difference in this morning from all the other mornings. He was out with his begging bowl as usual, trying to get enough sustenance to see that day through. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, the poor blind man, I've often pictured him. Oh, please, when you read any book, but principally when you read the Bible, let a picture form in your mind. Think it through. There's the man sitting, and suddenly there comes these hundreds of people down the road. Now, hundreds of people passing you by would make quite a noise. And the blind man, who was used to only two or three walking past him at a time, and maybe a man on a donkey, here was this mass of people passing by. And in his blindness, he couldn't tell what was happening. What's all this? What's going on? And he would clutch at anybody passing and get a hold of their garment. What's happening? Oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. That meant little to a lot of people. Probably didn't mean a great deal even to a lot of those in that crowd, but it meant a lot to blind Bartimaeus. He began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Men and women, I can only say to you that that moment, Bartimaeus knew that heaven had opened above his head. A door of opportunity was his. Jesus of Nazareth, he knew to be the Messiah. That's why he calls him, "Thou son of David, thou son of David, thou descendant of David, thou art the royal prince for whom this nation has long waited. I know who you are." Now, he couldn't look on the Lord Jesus. He couldn't see him physically. But he had heard reports, you see, sitting there by the highway side. You know how he would have just drunk in every little titbit of gossip and news that others would have passed on. And he had heard of the exploits of this Jesus of Nazareth. And you know, he formed the opinion he is the Messiah. I don't wonder. In truth, I believe, I know, that sitting by that highway side, he had prayed many times, "Lord, cause him to pass by me someday." And that day had come. Men and women, eternity will reveal that Jesus came there to meet with Bartimaeus. This was no mere chance, no accident. This was planned from all eternity. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he knew. And that's why when others told him to keep quiet, he was not going to keep quiet. He was not going to be robbed by any of this opportunity of enjoying God's mercy. The knowledge that Bartimaeus had gave him a precision or a preciseness to his prayer. The Savior said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And without hesitation, the man said, "Give me my sight, Lord, that I might receive my sight." Oh, that God would open your eyes to make you realize what it is you need above all things. I'll quickly close, making two simple points. Note that the Lord Jesus requires us to declare our faith. "You're crying and shouting at me, Bartimaeus, but what exactly do you want? State it out. Tell it forth. Declare your faith." Don't you think the Lord Jesus knew what that man needed? He knew it completely. But he wanted the man to say it. It's a bit like the incident of the woman with the issue of blood who heard about Jesus. And although she had tried every form of cure, she still, poor woman, was dying of this hemorrhage. But when she heard about Jesus, she said, "If I only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." And she came to him in the crowd, come behind him, sneaking in, as it were, and reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she was healed. And the Lord turned round and said, "Who touched me?" He wanted that woman to stand up and declare her faith. The disciples laughed and said, "Who touched you? Sure, everybody's bumping into you, Lord." "Ah, but somebody touched me in faith." And the woman stood up and said, "Lord, I did. I touched you." That was all the Lord wanted. Faith has to be declared. And Bartimaeus declared faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of Christ. He called him Lord. He called him Master. He called him the Son of David. He knew who the Savior was. And he declared his faith in the person of Christ. He declared his faith in the power of Christ. He said, Lord, give me my sight. He didn't say, well, now if you're able, or perhaps maybe you'd give thought to, or no hesitation, give me my sight. He knew the power of Christ. Now the people who all said, shut up, what are you, shush, keep quiet. They didn't expect that the Lord could do anything for this poor man. But this poor man knew the Lord could meet his every need. He had faith in the compassion of Christ. He asked for mercy, and he expected it. Oh, my friend, Christ's compassion is without limit. It's without limit. The Savior's words, the Savior's actions on this occasion would have been a great encouragement to blind Bartimaeus. First of all, we read that when the man cried out, verse 49, Jesus stood still. He stopped. Do you know that your cry can stop God? Do you know that? Your cry can reach the ear of God. Get the attention of God. Because he's ever listening for the cry of the one that's needy. He stopped. Bring him to me, he said. You're invited into God's presence today, dear needy sinner. And when you come before God, he's going to stoop down and he'll say to you, what do you want me to do for you? Just name it. Just name it. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So wrote Paul to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19. Oh, how can I say it today in closing? The Lord is ready to stop at your call. He places himself, as it were, at your disposal. Just name it. And if your eyes have been opened by the grace of God, there's only one thing you will ask from God. And what a thing that is. Forgiveness of sins through Christ Jesus. You're asking for something that is without price. It's priceless. Cost the blood of God's Son on Calvary. But it's yours today. You have but to ask. May God bless his word to our hearts and stir us to ask as did Bartimaeus. Let's just close in prayer, please. O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will reveal and make all things plain and simple to each and every one of us today. God, answer prayer. And as we leave now, go homeward, be with us, and help us to keep holy the Sabbath day for Christ's sake. Amen.